To have a filled life, you've got to have a clean heart. To have a clean heart, you've got to come clean with God. In the early part of the 20th century, there was a man, a young man in Scotland by the name of John George Govan. This man's very important in revival history and in the history of the church. He is a businessman doing very well, had all kind of aspirations of success in the future. He is a saved man, but the Lord was mightily dealing with him on the inside about surrendering fully to Christ. Not halfway, not three-fourths of the way, but all the way. He knew the idea of such a thing would cost him. He was not willing to face what his plans, how they may have to be rearranged if he did what God said. But the idea of full consecration began to develop his mind and began to occupy his mind. He wrote in his journal that he said, I tried on many occasions to consecrate myself, but always failed. That's the first thing you've got to learn. You cannot consecrate yourself no more than you can save yourself. It's a work of God. Only God can break you loose from the power of sin. Now you can yield to the Lord and give God your vessel, but only God can do that work on the inside. How? He said that he tried this and tried it. But the reason that he kept coming up short was that his heart was not fully in it. Well, he begins to wrestle this thing over and over and over. And God dealing with him about having a totally cleansed heart. You can't have a totally cleansed heart till you're totally obedient. How this thing of a cleansed heart, I'm not talking about the heart that pumps blood. I'm talking about the very center of your being, your personality, your soul. Now, to have a clean heart is to have a clear conscience. It means being able to pray with no accusation laid against you. That doesn't mean that Satan's not going to bring an accusation. That means before God, there is nothing between you and Christ. We can't serve God with confidence any other way. Well, he began to wrestle this in the providence of God. There's revival services being held. In those days, they called them meetings. And what this one was being conducted by his brother. He goes there, and guess what they're preaching on? They're preaching on a clean heart. Lord God began to mightily deal with him that night. As the service was about to be over, one right after another stood up, testified of how God had not only saved them, but their heart was totally clean with God. No disobedience, no rebellion. How that they were totally submitted to the Lord. Boy, he was so miserable. He left there the next 24 hours, nonstop, God dealing with him. He goes back the next night, others testifying of the victory they'd received after they surrendered all and could testify, pray, witness with a clean heart. Well, he said at the back of the auditorium, his brother seen him out of the corner of his eye. The service is about over. He calls on his brother to pray. And John George Govan said, I'll not play the hypocrite. I'll not act like it's all right when it's not all right. He got out in the middle of that aisle, got down on one knee, and began to pour his heart out to God before God and everybody in there. He got up that night, went out into the cool Scottish cold air, and told his friend walking beside of him, he said, I've got a clean heart. I don't feel a thing, but I take God at his word. And of God, a clean heart. Well, he began to grow in knowledge and in power with God. He began the faith mission of Edinburgh, Scotland, a mission used mightily in the 20s and 30s. But this is the man, John George Govan, that had an impact more than any man on a young man's life stirred him up about revival. That young man was Duncan Campbell, a man mightily used of the Holy Ghost, saw revival on the island of Skye and the Argus Shire, 1921, and then the great Lewis revivals. All that God did was because there was a man that said, I want a clean heart. I want to be thoroughly, totally right with God. Nothing between me and the Savior. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Well, that's what we need in this hour. How we can approach God with total confidence. Not a bunch of cobwebs in the corner of our heart. No blackness and darkness of sin and rebellion, but total obedience to the Lord. Well, 1 John 1:7 declares, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Where there's perfect light, no shadows are cast. Wherever you see somebody's shadow, there's a lack of light in that room. There are shadows all around this building. If there's enough light in here, there will be no shadows. And God is light. And God cast out the darkness. Now initially, at salvation, there's a legal cleansing that takes place. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Listen now, the penalty of sin has been paid. Positionally, I have been forgiven. But 1 John 1 is not talking about salvation. It's talking about fellowship with God. I can be related to my father and not be in fellowship with my earthly father. How I can belong to God in heaven and been saved by God's grace and not be in fellowship with him. That's what 1 John 1 is talking about. There is a cleansing that one must have to daily walk with God in this world. Now, the Lord illustrates this in John 13. How the Lord talks about Simon Peter in verse 8. Well, Christ, first of all, girds himself with a towel. And he's walking around the room where his disciples are. He begins to wash their feet. An act of total humility. Here's God in flesh, washing the feet of his fallible servants and disciples. He gets to Simon Peter. Simon Peter protests, thou shalt never wash my feet. Now, Peter didn't say that out of pride. He said that from the fact that he felt so unworthy. In verse 8, Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, Simon Peter, like the other disciples, had just come from the bathhouse. They've taken a bath. They've come across the dirt in between the bathhouse and this house. So their feet's got dirty. It was a New Testament practice. When you went to someone's house, they washed your feet. Because back then, everywhere you walked, you didn't have cars to drive. The mode of transportation was usually on foot. And they walked in sandals and their feet would get so tired. How refreshing to have your feet washed. So these men have took a bath. They've come to Christ. Jesus or Simon Peter answered the Lord, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. He said, now, Lord, if you wash my feet, if you don't wash my feet, I don't have any part with you. then wash me all over. Now, folks, why is this recorded? It's obvious it's a spiritual meaning. In verse number 10, Jesus said, in John 13, 10, Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not to wash a save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, but you're not clean, not all. Of course, speaking of Judas Iscariot, he said, you've already been washed. The only part of you dirty is your feet. When you got saved, you got washed. And the penalty of sin was paid, and you received that payment to your account. But when you walk in this world, your feet get dirty. That's what he's talking about, daily cleansing. And that's what Simon Peter needed, was that his feet be washed from the daily defilement of the world. This is explained theologically in Romans 4, 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now don't miss that. The first part of that is salvation. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That's salvation. Your iniquities were forgiven and your sins were covered. But watch this. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. When you sin after you're saved, it breaks fellowship, but God does not impute that sin against you. As far as salvation is concerned, Christ died for my sin. Christ paid the sin debt. When God forgave me, he didn't just forgive my sins. He forgave me for being a sinner. That's why we're saved forever. How these verses teach us. This is no license to sin. Anybody believes that needs to get saved to start with. You don't get saved, live for the devil 50 years and go to heaven. I don't believe a word of that. If you're saved by God's grace, you belong to God. You don't live right, he'll correct you or take you out of here. This verse teaches us that it's salvation. The penalty of sin, which is eternal hell, was forgiven. How does God judge sin twice? Christ already paid at the cross for my sin. I accepted that payment. How does God make me suffer in hell for something Christ paid for that I received? Oh, listen to me. Thank God for the power of the blood. I'll tell you, the blood of the Passover lamb, that judgment fell on the lamb that it might not fall on the firstborn. It won't fall on me because it fell on Christ 2,000 years ago. But sin's not a light matter. Well, if it breaks fellowship with you and God, it's a serious matter. That's why so many Christians have no joy. How many even folks been Holy Ghost born again saved? How's they got sin in their life? And they don't have a clean heart. God's not going to impute sin to me. God forgave me for what I did to Christ. The blood of Christ is the provision for a clean heart. How do you get forgiveness after you've been saved? The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that is conditional. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. I'll come back to that in a minute. But notice the result of walking in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Now the question is, who is one with another? Look up at verse 5 of 1 John 1. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I have fellowship with God. That's what it's talking about. We have fellowship one with another. If sin's in my heart, I can't have fellowship with God. That's why we get sin and disobedience in our heart. Oh God, I'm lost again. Well, you ain't lost again. You broke fellowship with God. That's what sin does. And we've got to come clean about it. The emphasis on the verse, verse 7 is vertical. In verse 3, here's the horizontal ramifications. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Boy, you take fellowship with God away from me, I'll die. I can't live like that. It's like Dr. Ray used to say, take my prayer life away, you might as well shoot me. I'm worthless. Anything breaks my fellowship with God is a drastic measure. Now watch this. The emphasis of this verse is vertical. Therefore, when we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we are restored to communion and fellowship with God. While we live in this world in a depraved body with a depraved nature, you're going to sin. He said, if we say, John the Beloved said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. God said you have sinned. Of course, he's not talking about a sinner here. Of course, all sinners have sinned. He's talking about the child of God. Confess it. Admit it. Admit when you've done wrong. If you want to be right with God, don't let your pride keep you from fellowship with God. He said he'll cleanse us, wash us, and we'll have fellowship with him. It's God's value and estimation of the blood that counts. He said, walk in the light of his word, the light of his witness, which is the Holy Spirit, the light of his will, the light of his worship. When we do that, we have fellowship with God. What do? When we sin, we go immediately to God. Listen, God made me more aware of this in the past week than I've ever been. When I go to God in prayer, I'd say, Lord, if there's any bitterness got in my heart since I talked to you last, Lord, if there's a wrong thought, God, if there's anything, I claim the blood to cleanse me. You don't let sin build up day after day, after day after day. That old bitterness in your heart, that's what makes the birds quit singing. That's what put misery on our face when our heart's not clean with God. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here is the challenge to walk in the light and to stay in the light. How do you do that? You do that by confession of sin and faith in the promise of God. If we confess our sin. Now, that doesn't just mean you acknowledge it. When you confess your sin, you call it what God calls it, evil. And if it's that evil, you're not going to do it tomorrow. When you repent of sin, you stop it. If you don't stop it, you ain't repented yet. You've got to get your belly full of it. You've got to understand what it's done to you. in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Nobody but God can reveal to me my heart. If you want to get serious with God, say, oh, God, show me what's in my heart. You're not going to like what he shows you, because he don't mince words. But he knows. Psalm 51:2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Oh, God, totally cleanse me. Wash me. Blot it out. Oh, God, remember it no more. Oh, God, I pray when I come before you, it won't be held against me. You can't do God's work till you get there. Now, when you serve God, your old depraved heart that's deceitful and wicked above all. It is deceitful above all, and it's wicked above all. It'll start accusing you. I'm not talking about your heart accusing you. I'm talking about God's word and God's spirit convicting you. Call sin what it is. Don't justify it. Don't blame somebody else. We're the master at passing the buck. What did Saul tell Samuel? I disobeyed God because of the people. That ain't what God wants to hear. He don't, well, God, you know, I've done this because, hey, he don't want to hear that. He wants you to admit what you've done. He knows the motive. He knows who set you up. He knows who provoked you. But you're part of it. My God, I have sinned. You know what bothers me about a lot of people? They never repent. I don't know anybody lives that close to God. We all have to repent. And you don't do that by shifting blame. People can do others wrong and go year after year and never make it right. Church people treat each other worse than dogs and just keep going, never make it right, never acknowledge nothing. And their lives full of trouble, misery, and they can't figure out why. It's because they don't have a clean heart. Boy, I tell you, this incomplete confession leads to spiritual dullness. Number one, when you confess sin, you call it what it is. Number two, you make no excuse for it. Number three, you forsake it. Proverbs 28:13, that's like the old drunk gets to God every night. Oh, God, forgive me for getting drunk today. He got no intention of quitting drinking. No, that's a rabbit's foot. That's some good luck charm. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, think about the misery that goes with sin. When the devil comes to you with a temptation, you know what that sin does to God. You need to say a sanctified no. Devil says stop to this beer store. No. Watch this ungodly program. No. He can't make you do anything. Reason we're so weak is because the holiness of God is not ruling our heart. And we love the darkness. Oh, you get that darkness out of you. Get the light in you. You'll be sensitive about the darkness. Every little bit of sin will bother you. People cursing will bother you. Wicked music will bother you. But if you're full of darkness, the darkness loves the darkness. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. God said, sin shall not have dominion over you. You know what sin did? It put my Savior on the cross. I'm not to make a league with it. What did I do about sin? I confess it. I call it what God called it. Sin. I don't make excuses for it. I forsake it, and then I make it right to the extent that I can. Here's a maximum. Maximus is this. Let the circle of the sin be the circle of confession. If I sin against God, I confess to God. If I sin against a person, I confess to that person. If I sin publicly, I make it right publicly as much as I can. Leviticus 5:5. It shall be when he shall be guilty of one of these things, he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. You know what that is? Get specific. There's a woman one time stood up in the church and said, I want y'all to forgive me for not loving people like I should. Well, they were having a confession meeting. And the preacher said, listen, that ain't no confession. Everybody can say, oh, I don't love people like I ought to. About 20 minutes later, she stood up and said, I should have said, forgive me for my wicked tongue that's been spreading discord in this church and my gossiping that's caused a lot of harm. The old pastor punched the evangelist and said, now she's a-talking. Get specific. Not if I have done wrong. That's garbage. God don't deal with you about if I've done wrong. It's what have you done. Come clean. That's what he said. Come clean. Hey, have revival. You got to have a clean heart before God. Believers in the Old Testament, God specific. Now, this is what confession is not. This is this Baptist, modern day, putrefying, puking confession. We're using the altars in Baptist churches like Catholic confessionals. Just coming to confess to get the guilt off, they go right back and wallow in the same sin. That's an abomination to God. That's why so many people think we preach this doctrine have a license to sin. Because that's what most people are doing. That's because they've never been saved to start with. Hey, there's no Catholic priest going to leave a city in Ireland. He's going up to Dublin. He's seen an old boy by the name of Dan. And Dan told him, said, I got to make confession. He said, we have Mass Saturday night, Sunday morning. He said, this can't wait. I got to make confession right now. He said, well, I got to go, but let's go across the street. So he gets in there. And he puts on that clown suit, you know. And Catholic priest dressed like Mama, and they call him Papa. He gets him behind that little hole in the door. And this guy begins to confess his sin. He said, Father, I have sinned. I have stole 2 bags of potatoes. He said, I was talking to Mr. Riley today, and the word's all over town. Hey, a bag of potatoes got stolen from his business last night. He said, oh, no, everybody knows it. He said, but, sir, you said you wanted to confess you stole 2 bags of potatoes. He said, that's right. It's easy. I'm going to go steal another one tonight. Now, that's most Baptist confession right there. Never intend to stop what we're doing. Oh, God, I don't want to let's go home and watch a television program full of nakedness and nudity. Who are you fooling? God, I want a clean heart. Turn on 95.7, bunch of that rock and roll hell and country music hell. And they say, oh, God, forgive me for not thinking pure thoughts. Hey, you don't feed that flesh and then act like you're confessing. It's exactly right. Oh, boy, I think about what Proverbs 28:13 says again. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Listen to this verse now. I think this is greatly misunderstood. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, the devil is going to accuse 1,000 people a day to you. That, well, I think somebody's got, that ain't what that's talking about. If you have offended somebody, that's the implication. You've sinned against somebody. They've got ought against you because of what you've done or what they perceive you've done. You're to make that right. What's the gift? It's not money that you bring to the church. In the Old Testament, when they brought the sacrifice, they called it the gift. When you bring your gift and you lay your hands on that lamb to transfer your sin to that lamb, and God convicts you that you've done your brother wrong, go make it right with your brother. God knows if I've repented. God knows if I'm right with him. My brother don't know if I've done him wrong unless I confess it to him and make it right when I've done my brother wrong. Y'all get that? Tell you something. You can't, listen, you better not do people wrong in this world. God's going to make you apologize. Next time you want to do somebody wrong, just remember that. If you ever get right with God down the road, you're going to have to make this thing right. It's easier not to do it to start with. That's right. When you're about to lose your temper, don't do it. Count to 1,000, 1, 2, 3, whatever you got to do, don't say it, because you're going to have to apologize if you do. I can't stand that apologizing stuff. I'm serious. You say, well, you're full of pride. You're exactly right. And so are you. Hey, if the devil tempts me to do something and I don't do it, yield not to temptation. I grow in grace. If I give in to it, it breaks fellowship with God. Hey, that's what, you know what? A preacher's in a precarious situation. You can't, listen, you can't have fights with your wife. Because if you do, you got to apologize. You can't get up and preach. I've had to go to my wife and make things right in this church. Now, wives got the luxury, if they don't want to do right, they just get to sit there and be a bull. Those, they don't have to pray. They ain't got to preach. But a man that's a preacher can't have a bunch of junk in his heart. Keep a clean slate. Keep a sinless short. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Oh, we'll have fellowship one with another. Now, let me explain this. Here's a little boy. They're sitting at the dinner table. Daddy's at the head. Mother's at the other side. Children are around the sides of the table. Little 7-year-old boy, smart talks his mother. The daddy says, son, you go to your room, do you come back and apologize? Well, boy walks away laughing. He comes back in about 5 minutes and said, okay, I'm sorry, everybody, and sits down. He said, you ain't apologized, you're just hungry. Go back to your room. Tell you apologize to your mother. You know how stubborn kids are. You try to get one to apologize, it's like pulling teeth. That's when you'll see how depraved they are. I've seen some, you could have set them on fire for they'd said, I'm sorry. You got to break that. You can't let that get by. Hey, they get to face the rest of their life, whatever it takes. You can't let a child get by with not saying, I'm sorry. Because it'll stiffen their will and they'll say no to God. How that boy comes back 10 minutes crying. He said, Mother, I'm so sorry the way I done you. Not only did fellowship get restored, he goes over there and sits on her lap. That's what I'm talking about. That boy, when he disobeyed mother, when he treated her wrong, was still daddy's son. When he's in the back room, he's still daddy's son. When he comes and makes false repentance, he's still daddy's son. When he restores communion and fellowship, he's still daddy's son. The blood of Christ has paid the sin debt for me. But my sin breaks fellowship with God. I need a foot cleansing. I need my heart to stay clean before God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You'll agree with this. You can't afford not to be able to pray. We live in too wicked a day. You can't afford to go 10 minutes not be able to get a hold of God. I mean, there's somebody going to call you and at an inopportune time. Now, notice this. So many believers today are going to die defeated because they won't make the wrong right. Carnality won't do it. Spiritual people will, because they know the importance of a clean heart. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. I know precious children of God that's walked in the victory. Boy, it makes me want to cry to think about it. That's walked in the victory. And they've got crossed up somehow. They might have got some crooked preacher. They might have been somebody in the church just absolutely done them wrong. It might be their son's wife. It might be their daughter's husband. It might be a brother or sister. I mean, somebody's done them wrong and just violated their heart. And they get bitter. Oh God. Oh God. And they go. And they say, I can't go to church down here. Then they go to another church and they can't get satisfied there. And oh God, it breaks my heart to see the devil set them up. And they spend the rest of their life trying to get back what they had when they won't let go. Oh, folks, listen. You got to have a clean heart. You got to come clean with God. When you confess something, listen to me now. It's real important. When you confess to God, you repent of that sin. That's it. You're forgiven. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You come to God and you confess it. God, the best I know how, I'm sorry. I don't never want to do that again. You're forgiven. You say, I don't feel it. Hang around, you will. Faith, not only do we confess, but we trust the promise of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Listen, God knows. John the Beloved wrote this down. He knows the difficulty of the Christian life. How many you mess up real bad? You let God down. You let the church down. Once you've done it, what can you do? All you can do is confess it. You can't go undo it. You can't unspill milk. Let's take a man that's been a drunk all his life. And let's say that one of his children breaks his heart. He goes by the beer store, buys him a six pack. The next day, he feels lowered down the snake in the wagon's track. Now, he can't go back and undo that deed. What can he do? He can be sorry. Oh, God. Oh, God, forgive me. God said He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means you're not put on probation. Oh, I know how the devil operates. I've been saved long enough to know his tricks, and you have too. The next day, well, I don't think you was sorry enough. You know, you really didn't cry enough tears when you said, God, I'm sorry. That's unbelief. That's doubt. You ain't believe what God said. He said He's faithful and just to forgive you. He means it. Now, what's this? The next day, oh, God, there's that old nagging doubt again, that old nagging accusation. You know that sin you committed the other day. and you give in to that accusation of the devil, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and there's no end to it. God done forgive you one time. He ain't forgiving you again. He's faithful and just to forgive us. He knows we're mess ups. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. Thank God he loves us. He's got compassion. Just don't let that sin list get built up. Tell God you're sorry and mean it. And God said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. The devil says, you know, you got mad, lost your temper, and said a word you shouldn't say. You're on probation for a month. That ain't what that says. He's faithful and just to forgive us. I talked to a precious lady today, and she's talking to me about Satan just aggravating her to death, about her salvation. I said, have you ever noticed something? Whenever that doubt and accusation comes up, here's how you know if it's God or Satan. The devil always majors on what you did. How do you know you prayed the right prayer? How do you know you believe? How do you know you? The Holy Ghost never puts emphasis on what you did. No. God's a God of few words. If you're lost, he just says lost. You're lost. He don't say, I don't think you're serious enough. God don't play them games. He's straight and direct to the point. You're lost. Well, God, I don't feel like I'm saved. What's that got to do with anything? I'm not saved by how I feel. I'm saved because what God said. Now notice this. Cleanse means a removal, a purging, to purify from wickedness, to disregard, to free from sin, to release a debt. To declare clean. So in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When that fellowship gets broke, confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you, to release you, to remove the sin, and restore you. Those three R's alliterated. Release, remove, and restore. Well, here comes the deceiver. 1 John 3:20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And knoweth all things. But if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, let me explain this. I'm going to try to hurry this up. Here it is. The reason we have a problem with this is because some of us have an oversensitive conscience. And when we sin and we confess it and we're brought to bear that it broke fellowship with God, we're so sensitive that we let God down, that our heart just keeps stabbing us. How can God love you? How can you be that on and on and on and on and on? He goes with that stuff. The conscience does. That's your heart condemning you. God is greater than my heart. What God said right here. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What God said's greater than any accusation of the devil and my own heart. We're to believe what he said. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, cause we keep his commandments, do those things that are pleasing in his sight. God doesn't operate in this works-based acceptance. You're not accepted by what you do, and you're not forgiven by what you do. You're forgiven on the basis of the blood of Christ. And that's the only basis you're forgiven. Cleansed. Oh, we come to him. Oh, God, give me a clean heart. Boy, the highway of holiness is the highway of lowliness. When I sin, deal with it immediately. Closer you walk with God, the more you'll do that. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. Agree with your adversary quickly. Let him have the last word. Let him be right. It don't matter. Me winning an argument is not worth me losing fellowship with God.
tell you right now, there ain't nothing in this world worth me losing fellowship with God. Now, I'm not going to tell you I hadn't, I have many times. And I know I will again because I know me. But I'll tell you right now, there's no argument. Hey, learn not to argue. Just don't say nothing. You don't have to correct everybody every time they say something. That's pride. If they're full of junk, let them be full of it a lot of times. All you're going to do is insult somebody. Hey, some people can't be corrected about nothing. They're too full of pride. Let them go. Stay right with God. Hey, some people, you want to treat them right, but you just don't, can't get around them. You ever seen people like that? I mean, I'm going to be nice to them, shake their hand. I just ain't comfortable around them. You get that uneasiness around them. Lock you under their microscope all the time. Boy, you ever get around somebody, that old jealous spirit? Oh, God. I mean, I just nag at you. You know what you do? You take people like that, you never tell them nothing about nobody because they'll go straight to somebody and start a bunch of junk on you. You better listen to me now. Learn to control what you say. Man that can control his tongue can control his life. Closer we get to God, the less we'll sin. The closer we get to God, the sins we do commit will seem greater than they've ever been. A man that's walking close to God, one sin will violate his conscience more than a man out of God's will that commits 100 of them. Some people can sin just about the impunity and it never bothers them because they're so far from God and they're in so much darkness. But the closer you get to God, every little old thing you do wrong will bother you. But at the same time, don't let an oversensitive conscience drive you crazy. Folks, listen, this ain't a life of legalism. It's a life of joy. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. When you go to God in prayer, don't go with the preconceived idea. Well, this is how I want God to bless. No, just go talk to him and let the chips fall where they may. God wants to burden you for lost people. God wants to give you joy. Just accept it and fellowship with him. Just make sure it's all clean. Oh, God, start listening. I mean, I list a lot of times sins I've not committed just to make sure they ain't there. Well, sure. Old Dr. Egg get up and preach. Boy, he offended some people. I had an old preacher one time down at Myrtle at Camp Zion. Told me, I can't stand Dr. Egg talking about God forgive us of all these sins. Well, that man didn't have water and a thimble compared to the ocean, the power that old Dr. Ray had. He can criticize. He comes, oh, God forgive us of all of our lust. Oh, God forgive us. I mean, just go down the line. You know why? He wasn't guilty of it, but he knew a bunch of them people in there were. He's trying to make them sensitive to God. To get them say, God, that's me. God, forgive me. So you can have a worship service. What would happen if none of us had come to church till we come with a clean heart? See, we'll mess around, play around at the end of the service. And by then you done blow the whole service. Come through those doors, God, forgive me if I've said something wrong. If I've offended anybody. Any disobedience in my heart. God, anything I've done, Lord, I want to come to worship you. Give me a clean heart before you. Now listen to me. Listen to me. You come up here to worship God, devil's either going to get in the husband, going to get in the wife, or get in the youngins. I guarantee it. Why do we keep falling for that? Why you'll be sitting and waiting on the wife, she's dragging three young'uns out the front door, sitting there blowing the horn. You done messed up, man. Jumping on her being late. Don't fall for that. Go help her get the young'uns in the car. Put a zipper on it, man. Why do we keep falling for the same old tricks? God help us. I want a clean heart. I got to have a clean heart. I can't approach God in power without a clean heart.
There's two men arguing one time. It's John Wesley and George Whitfield. And Whitfield believed if you really got saved, you'd save forever. Wesley believed you could get saved and get lost. You know what Whitfield told him? He said, John, are you saved right now? He said, well, I'm saved right now. He said, that's good enough. Let's worship God. Praise God, I'm saved right now. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's some things I ain't worrying about. I got my confidence in the blood of Christ. I got to walk with him. I got a depraved nature. I'm in a sinful body. I got to get my feet washed every day. Every day. You can stay in the prayer house locked up all day. And get to the end of the day. Now, Lord, you know my heart. If I got full of pride, that's like this old boy. Listen to this. He goes into this. It's a true story. It's happened a long time ago. True story. This boy come in, slammed down his books. It's his preacher school. And said, praise God. Guy beside him said, what's wrong with you? He said, I said, praise God. I've been praying all night. He said, it sure made you humble, didn't it? He said, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd slap you in the face. He said, it made you sweet too, didn't it? True story. Righteousness, godliness don't make you proud. It'll make you humble. See, he shouldn't have slammed the books down to get attention so somebody would ask him so he could tell him he prayed all night. That's pride. He should have just went home and slept with the dogs. He wastes his time praying all night because he's doing it for the wrong reason. See, you can do the right thing, have wrong motive, God knows. Folks, we're so easily offended. God help us. So moody and all this crazy mess, that's flesh. I always worried, oh, is that mad at me? Is that mad? Yeah, listen, quit listening to the devil. They ain't thought about you. You ain't important enough to them to think about you unless they're praying for you. Oh, thank God if we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? I remember this story. I give you this in closing. Old brother Mike Hodge, I've told this story. He tells about this man. God saved me. He just shouted. I told this not long ago. He couldn't shut up. Just praising God everywhere. Man, he praising God in church, praising God everywhere. And one Sunday morning, the preacher said, brother, you've been praising God around here like you have. How about closing sin prayer? He said, I can't pray in public, calling somebody else. Wasn't long after that, somebody asked him to teach Sunday school. Well, I can't teach Sunday school, get somebody else. About 6 months after he made that profession, he waved old brother Mike Hodge down. He come up, oh, Preacher Hodge, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. He said, what's happening? He said, I'm lost again. He said, you ain't lost again. What are you talking about? He said, well, you know, I was praising God and having rejoicing in the Lord and having a good time with the Lord. It's all gone. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. When did it start? He said, what? When did it start? When the birds quit singing, the joy quit ringing, all that. He said, well, they asked me to pray, and I told them to get somebody else to pray. He said, disobedience number one. He said, when did it happen again? He said, they asked me to teach class. I said, get somebody else. Disobedience number two. He said, you disobeyed God and grieved the Holy Ghost. Get down right here, ask God to forgive you, and God will restore you to fellowship. He did, and Mike Hodge and him got to praising God. Cars stopping up and down the road. He said, there's a bunch of them out there praising God. Back in them days, you know, about everybody saved. And man, they just had revival beside the road. When misery's on our face, something's wrong in our heart.
Quit listening to the devil. Quit listening to the flesh. If you've confessed your sin, he forgave you. He forgave you. He forgave you. And if I'm clean with God, it don't really matter about nothing else. That settles it, don't it? Stand on their feet. My question to you is, you got a clean heart? Have I got a clean heart before God? Well, you're going to pray in power. You need it all cleaned out. All the disobedience gone. Where, listen. Boy, I used to get so tired of failing God. I keep falling and failing in some of the same ways that I got so sick of it. I got so embarrassed at my sin. I didn't want to face God with it no more. And I got in his shape bad enough, I didn't want to do it no more. What is it going to do to me? God, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, wherein I failed you. God, I'm just a man. Lord, fallen humanity. But Lord, you made a provision. You give us the Holy Spirit so we can live victorious in this life. Dear God, keep us close to you. May the sin list stay real short. God, may we treat people right. Help us quit falling for the tactics of the devil. Traps he sets. Lord, give us enough wisdom to discern what he's doing, to discern his lies, and God, his unbelief and his accusations. Oh, Lord, help us. God, help us. We love you, Lord.